Humans are kind of naturally tribal. We like to live in groups of like-minded people, like-skinned people, whatever. And this little gospel passage points out how ridiculous that can be, because Capernaum wasn't that far from Nazareth. Here you have Jesus, who is experiencing, even in his humanity, something of his divinity, which is in communion with the entire universe and cannot be confined to just Nazareth. And yet it makes them uncomfortable that he would even talk about working somewhere else. It puts me in mind, there are two little towns in Ellis County, Catherine and Emram, about 5 miles apart from each other. Both of them, everybody there is Catholic and everybody there is German-Russian. But when someone from Catherine marries someone from Emram, they consider it a mixed marriage. It's just how ridiculous we can be about these things. Paul undergoes a radical conversion in his life, and he speaks of it in this reading about being a child and thinking and acting and speaking like a child, and then being a man, being an adult. And the difference for Paul is his conversion experience. Because when he was a child and acting childishly, he was very tribal. He was a Pharisee. He was raised up in Judaism and couldn't see that God could be working in any other group of people. So much so that he holds people's cloaks while they're stoning Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And later he rounds up people and takes them to prison because they're Christian. And then he undergoes this conversion. And all of a sudden, well, maybe not all of a sudden, but within a few years, he becomes known as the apostle to the Gentiles, to people that before he would never have considered worthy of hearing the gospel message. He wouldn't have considered them capable of ever receiving it and being converted to the truth. That's how changed we can become. And since Paul underwent that change, and now he is speaking as an adult, he's speaking to the church in Corinth about the charisms. Now, we've been reading from this letter for the last several weeks. A couple of weeks ago, we heard how there are many different gifts, but the one Spirit and the one Lord. And then last week we heard how those various gifts can work together to build up the body of Christ so that they're all needed, they're all necessary, and there's no reason to worry about having one or not having another. It all works together. And then today he's taking that even farther, and he's saying, you know, as wonderful as these gifts are and given by God as they are, isn't it strange how they can be used to divide the body instead of building it up? Because I think my gift is more important than yours, or maybe I think yours is more flashy than mine, and so I'm jealous of you. And Paul says, the problem with the gifts is, if you just stay there with the gifts, it doesn't necessarily build up the body. There's only one gift that does that, and that's love. And so then he goes into that beautiful poetic treatise about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It endures everything. It never fails. It's not jealous. It's not boastful. It's not rude. And that's a nice way to talk about love. But if you're thinking about the way humans love, half of that isn't even true. Because sometimes we are rude, and sometimes we are jealous of one another, and sometimes we do hang on to injuries, and on and on and on. But you see, Paul is not talking about human love here. He's talking about divine love. And divine love is all of those things that he says. Divine love is a participation in the love of God. And in the Trinity, as we so often say here, there is no guardedness, there is no self-concern, there is no fear. Each of the three persons is willingly and confidently laying down his life for the other two. Now, Paul envisions the church being the body of Christ, and he says the only way we can build that up into the body of Christ is by expressing and living divine love. And talk about a charism, talk about a gift. It isn't something that we are capable of purely in our humanness. It's because we are participators in divine life that this is possible. And so we have to let go of that human side of ourselves that is drawn to jealousy, drawn to divisions, and express that divine side of ourselves that expresses divine love. Jesus reveals to us in his body, in his person, a human being who is perfectly and fully human, and yet perfectly and fully God at the same time. Miraculous as that is, mystery as that is, that's what Jesus presents. And he doesn't say anywhere in the Gospels, and I am that and you're not. But rather, he's trying to say to us, look at what you are. You are divine too. You are children of God, heirs of the kingdom. You have divine DNA coursing through your veins. Exercise it. Live it. Let go of your human fears and foibles and jealousies and strife and divisions and tribalism, and lay down your life. Let go, and all things will be given to you. There's something kind of scary about living that prophetic kind of life. It got Jesus killed. It brought great persecution to Jeremiah. And God even warns Jeremiah in his call, they're going to revile you, they're going to hate you, but I'm making you a wall of brass against them. They will come at you, but they will not overcome you, because I am with you to deliver you. And Jesus gets that same message from his Father. I am with you to deliver you. And as Jesus hangs on the cross and cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me? Which is the gospel way of saying he even felt he experienced what it feels like to be alone, to have failed, to have lost. And yet God did not abandon him. He lifted him up, raised him from the dead, put him at his right hand in the kingdom, made him the high priest for all the ages. We need to hear God speaking to us in the same way. People will resist you. People will perhaps make fun of you. People will fight against you. But they will not prevail over you, because I am there to deliver you.